American woman. It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Greatly appreciate you joining us. Each of you are treasured and valued. You have a purpose. Today's live with intention, strive for excellence, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I get to work with a great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Thank you. Excuse me. I'm back at you.
And check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And you can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. We will be publishing another in a series of op-eds that our researcher Patty Kurgan has been doing on this Initiative 25 LEAP, which is the Learning, Enrichment, and Academic Program Plan. It is a proposed new marijuana tax for the children. What could go wrong with that? And so be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you'll get first look at that as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to our independent voice. We are an alternative to all that's going on out there, and we search for truth and clarity and look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And I have in studio with me a great partner of the Kim Monson Show, and that is Helen Mitchell. Helen, it's great to have you here.
Morning. Yeah. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm on day three of an air conditioner not working in my home.
Oh. So it's, you know what, this room gets very, very cold, so you may not leave today.
Yeah, I got that.
I tell you, yeah, it's been pretty warm for
Total
sure.
Total configuration of my house has changed.
I'm sure it has. When's the tactician coming out?
Today.
Yay.
10.
Okay. Great. Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And in the second segment, you just returned from a trip back to Pennsylvania to visit some cousins.
Yes,
and
I did.
And you have a very interesting election story to tell us, and we'll talk about that in the second segment.
I think you'll find it just fascinating.
I think so.
Yay, Pennsylvania, by the way.
Yay. Morgan, Pennsylvania.
And
coal miner country.
And where are you from? Where'd you grow up, Steve?
Midway between Harrisburg and Philadelphia, Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay, okay. So you'll you can maybe jump in on this conversation as well.
Well, I do, you know, anything that pops up, especially regarding voting in Pennsylvania, always gets my attention.
For sure. So we'll talk about that in the second segment. Third and fourth segment. Something was passed, a piece of legislation, and I've got it right someplace right here. It is House Bill 21-1071, and it is bringing ranked choice voting into Colorado. And we're going to be talking with Brent Littlefield. He is a political strategist back in Washington, D.C. He's had experience with this, and it's important that we understand what is going on here. It's a way to manipulate our elections. And, of course, here in Colorado, we're doing that again. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Our America's Veterans Story show this week, our guest is Air Force pilot Chuck Briga, and it is very fascinating. He loved flying, and he tells a story of where he basically took his dad's little airplane out for a joyride at the age of 13 and went over an event at his house. And quite frankly, I guess he got in a bit of trouble, but he also was part of a very top secret squadron that he was sworn to not talk about for over 50 years. Well, the 50 years is over, and he talks about that as well on the show. So that will be on 3 to 4 and 10 to 11 on Sunday. Be sure and check that out. Last night, the girls came over, Helen, and I ordered some of those Hooters wings.
Yes.
And you had to get in line, and they were delicious.
No, they were gone.
They were gone. They are those smoked wings that they have. They got the smoker from Germany, and they're great smoked wings. They're half the calories, but they have all kinds of specials. Go to my website, Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Click on my sponsors tab, highly recommend all of them, and click on the Hooters tab, and you will find all their specials, whether or not it's lunch or after a happy hour, after work, whatever. Let's go to our quote for today.
I want to see how you set this up, but go ahead, do it.
Okay. Shall we take a guess on who said this?
That's a good way to do it.
Guess who said this, okay? Voting is the most precious right of every citizen, and we have a moral obligation to ensure the integrity of our voting process. Hillary Clinton. Can you believe that?
Can you say the word moral and Hillary Clinton in the same sentence?
Without thunder?
Without lightning. So, anyway, Steve, we have talked about this, and that is projection. They are able to project what people want to hear, or they project on to their opponents what they are really doing. But they are excellent at being able to say what we want to hear. But there is no, they don't walk the talk. I guess that's the bottom line.
A good example, very recent example, was Majority Leader Schumer taking Trump to the woodshed. And it was earlier this week, I went to go and get the soundbite because I wanted us to walk through it. It was the ugliest, nastiest thing. I can't imagine a politician of his stature, his experience, doing something like that. But in terms of projecting, boy, was he doing it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really waking up, Steve. I know that there's a lot that is being thrown at folks. That's why we do this show. But I think a lot of people are waking up to what's going on out there. We wanted to revisit one of the headlines that Patty had on earlier in the week, and that was regarding Mayor Hancock's State of the City speech. And a couple of things. This was something that you've mentioned it two times, and I know that it's really important when you do that, and that is that very first line in this speech. Steve, do you want to comment on that?
Well, why don't you read it? Because I have, what I'm going to put it up against is something from former chief of staff for Obama, Rahm Emanuel. But okay. To read his opening sentence there.
This is what Mayor Hancock said. He says, "We're turning the challenges of the past year, and there were many, into opportunities," said Hancock in a virtual address to the city overlooking downtown Denver. "Opportunities to transform our city into a model of equity and inclusion that is sustainable for years and even decades to come."
First of all, set aside that word equity just for a second. In Obama's first term, his chief of staff was Rahm Emanuel, who went on to become the mayor of Chicago. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like Chicago didn't already have enough problems. But Emanuel said during that time, "You never let a serious crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do the things you could not do before." Now, in my looking this up, the initial concept or the initial phrase, "you never let a serious crisis go to waste," is attributed to Winston Churchill of all people. But I love what Emanuel tacked on it. Well, I don't love it. I'd hate it, because it's exactly what they did. And now I hear Michael Hancock essentially using the same words.
The same words. And one more time, read the very end of what Rahm Emanuel had said.
He said, "Well, you never let a crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do the things you could not do before."
Wow. Helen, you want to comment on that? Nope. Okay. One other thing in this speech that I wanted to lowlight, and that is at the very end where he talks about climate change. And here it says, "Overlooking a hazy downtown Denver skyline due to wildfires currently burning in the west, on the west coast, Hancock said the city sees a new opportunity to create a new generation of clean energy jobs. We're going to make renewable electricity more accessible to our residents and businesses, especially for low-income residents." I actually should waltz over here to one of the headlines that Patty had. And that was that Xcel Energy wants to, I think, charge ratepayers another $344 million for, here we go. Xcel needs a smarter, greener electric grid, but should Colorado customers foot the $344 million bill for that? Somehow, Steve, two things don't match up, do they?
There it is. Yeah, okay. That's an hour-long show unto itself, but yeah, you make a great point.
One other point that I do want to make, and that is we have mismanaged our forests in the West. And so the fires that are burning, there's always been forest fires, but the fires that we're burning because we haven't cleaned the brush out and because the environmentalists have not let us clean the brush out, let us cut down dead trees. These forests burn, they burn hotter, it's more intense. And here the left is always talking about cleaner air, cleaner air, cleaner air. Well, one of the first things that we should do is start to manage our forests so we do not have these intense forest fires. And I think that, again, the correlation, I think that we should go to, is it the very last thing that we had on the outline here, Steve? And that is the piece about the left wanting to make your life worse. I feel like I'm in a Rush Limbaugh moment if I can get to that.
Yeah, rattle your papers.
Rattle my papers here. I'm not finding it right now, but
it says essentially the left exists to make your entire life worse, and then goes on to expand on that. And sometimes you sit back and say, "Well, gee, is that not the truth?"
Well, it really is. And who was I talking to the other day? The elites refer to us as them. They do not look at us as constituents, as fellow citizens, but more as them. And they, the elites, believe that the rules and regulations are for us, not for them. And I was just reflecting on one of the mayors here in the metro area, that public safety is so, so important. And this particular mayor actually is kind of talking about maybe having to reduce policing in our community if we don't do something. And I'm thinking it's so interesting that she is talking about that, and she lives in a gated community. And that really is what happens with the left. You think about Pelosi in San Francisco. San Francisco is really dying. It is no longer that beautiful city. And so to that piece is basically when the left comes in, things get worse. But we're going to go to break. Helen Mitchell is in studio, and she has got a fascinating story to tell us about her cousin back in Pennsylvania. You will not want to miss that. And then we'll talk about ranked choice voting in the third and fourth segment. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We're an alternative to the mainstream media. And so thank you so much for joining us. In studio with me is a woman, Helen Jean Mitchell, who is a great sponsor of the show. And thank you so much for that. And you just returned from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And you were with your cousins there.
My twin cousins.
And so tell us, they had a very interesting story to tell you.
Yeah, so we are politically active, and of course, discussion is always politics. And she said, oh yes, I was one of those people, they got 6 unsolicited mail-in ballots.
Interesting.
I said, oh, do tell. And she said, that she had gone to vote, and she took her ballots in hand.
Now, does she normally vote in person?
She always votes in person.
Okay.
She says she doesn't even, she pays her bills in person. She never uses the mail.
Wow.
That's okay. A statement she made, yes. So, but she did not take her privacy envelopes. So because she did not take her privacy envelopes, now that is a requirement that Colorado dropped.
Okay.
But apparently Pennsylvania did not.
But in Pennsylvania, they just rolled this mail out in voting thing just within like this last election cycle?
Yeah, brand new system.
Okay.
Brand new system. Obviously had not been tested. So she didn't take her envelopes, and that's what made her vote so special. And so she was given a provisional vote.
Or provisional ballot. Yeah.
Yes, a provisional ballot. So she did not know at the time what that was. She had, that was the first time she'd ever heard of it, was on November 3rd. So she says to me, I was rushed. The provisional process took longer than expected. And like every day during COVID-19 pandemic, I was needed at work. And she makes this statement, I am a healthcare worker whose vote did not count.
Wow.
So she had six. And then she tells me a bunch of her neighbors did too. Her twin sister had a bunch of mail-in ballots. Unsolicited, she had never asked.
And they got more than one.
You were gonna, like 5-6.
You were going to ask her, was it the same name or was the name different?
Right. I said, did they use your initials on one and, you know, spell the name out on another and maybe your middle name? She said, no, it was the same one. Now, what I did notice was I got on the web and I noticed that that particular county had a little form online that could request for you to send in a mail-in ballot. You could get a mail-in ballot online. I thought, well, okay, you know what, that thing has a bunch of errors. Mm-hmm. What if they use the same program, you know, to generate ballots from that system as they did to generate them to mail them to your house?
Well, think about the cost also to mail all this stuff and to print all this stuff.
I'm just alarmed that, you know, you let somebody just have a mail-in ballot. You know, ad infinitum, it just opens it up for fraud.
Now, where do they live? Can you tell us exactly?
I live in Morgan County.
Okay. And has that been one of the counties with the big problems? Or?
Allegheny County.
Okay.
Yes, apparently it has been one of the problem areas.
Okay. So let's just recap this just a bit. Your cousin never requested a mail-in ballot.
Never.
She received six. They all had the same name on them. So she goes to vote in person, but because she didn't bring the secrecy
sleeves,
they wouldn't let her vote. They made her do a provisional vote, correct?
Right. So then she does the provisional vote, okay, and she gets a vote receipt.
Okay.
And she says, I have my paperwork. But she never could track it down. So there's a phone number that you can call to find out if your vote counted. She called that through March. Never heard anything. Her vote didn't count.
Boy.
Interesting.
It's
so
very
I heard that and contacted a few people, and she's going to be talking to a few more people about her story.
Helen, what do you think, as we're seeing these stories come forward, what do you think? Do you think anything's going to happen with the presidential election of 2020? Or what? Have you thought about that? What do you think?
Well, I know what should happen if, you know, things are just, you know, and correct and right. But, you know, when you're cheated and you know you are.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just steadfast about this. Her neighbors had the same situation. None of their votes counted. They can't even look it up. You know, there's something wrong with that. There's something un-American about that.
Right, there really
and
is.
And then it just bothers you when you start thinking about, well, what are the repercussions of this? You know, how does this affect my daily life? Because mm-hmm. it does, that mm-hmm. you just have absolutely no control over something that, you know, that's so unfair. Now, you know, whenever I said the word unfair to my mother, she said unfair is just another word for a circus, you know, so I had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. But still, it just doesn't seem right. Something so basic as the right to vote that we fought for, you know, that, you know, these people, descendants from coal miners, these people are hardworking Americans, you know, and this really rubs them the wrong way. And she's gone down there to testify. Oh, she won't let this drop.
Okay, good. Good.
Not coal miner descendants. She's not going to let this guard drop.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go to our quote for the end of the day because as I was looking for quotes on voter integrity, of course, the thing that came out with Hillary Clinton was just mind-boggling because they say one thing and they do another. But our quote at the end of the day was from Abraham Lincoln, and he said this. He said, "The ballot is stronger than the bullet." And Steve and I have talked about it a lot. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And socialism is not about free stuff. The free stuff is just the carrot to get people to vote for it. Once you're into socialism, and we're into socialism right now. We are in a big fight for our country right now. And we do see that the ballot it's very, very strong. But also, there is questions across all these states about voter integrity. And we've got big questions right here in Colorado that are coming forward, Helen.
Yeah, if you can't trust, if you can't audit, if you can't go back and correct, you have no guarantee that the mistake isn't going to happen again.
Right.
And some people, I guess, rely on that.
Well, and the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, I would encourage you to check that out. They are doing really good work here in Colorado as well. And we see the actions of some of these folks here in Colorado that makes us question if there's some there. And one of those is Jenna Griswold, who is the Secretary of State, that she came out and made an executive rule that we would not have any third parties come in and audit our elections. Well, that's like having you audit your own tax returns. We need to make sure that we have a third party that could come in and do this. The other thing is they're coming in, and Helen, you can tell me more about this, is that they are updating the voting machines, thereby losing some of the history. So you're an expert in this. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what I had heard is that they, you know, the logs are what record every transaction that's made. There are a variety of logs, but one basic one that it always gets created, no excuses, it records every single transaction. And what I was told, you know, they were gone. They were deleted.
Now, here in Colorado, I know that happened in Michigan. Did that happen here?
Yes,
do you know?
It repeated the same scenario, repeated over and over again.
Wow.
So those were gone. And that's no accident. I mean, somebody has to do that, either code it in or physically do it.
And so this updating of the machines, is that getting rid of those past logs, or is that something
that's
different?
Oh, the logs have been gone a long time ago.
Okay. What about this updating the machine thing?
Updating the machine. Well, who knows what they're doing to it?
Okay. You know,
what are they doing? They could be updating the software. They could be updating the hardware. They could be updating security patches. That's what they call them. You know, you're constantly having to apply patches to these machines to be leery of what may happen, who may try to break into your firewall, they call it, and get to your computer systems.
Okay. Do you see any way to make these voting machines more secure? What could be done?
Well, they're always going to be, you know, unless you have an organized methodology for making them consistent across platforms and across the entire voting systems. There's always going to be, that way you can happen. The true test is to test it. You need to test it in an environment that doesn't count, like a development environment, and then you need to test it. Like they call it system test, where you test like maybe your region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to pretend you're in an environment where there are going to be a whole bunch of votes coming in, and you need to audit those. You need to track them one for one. You know, what came in, what left.
But if somebody wanted to kind of play around with this, that would be a place that they could do that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there's to be several ways to do that, too, programmatically. Through the database you could do it. You know, you wouldn't put in those fixes that catch errors.
So
that audit them.
Well, we need
reconcile.
We need to find out what's been going on across the spectrum. Let's jump over here to Karen Levine. You know her. She is a great partner of both of my shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. She's an award-winning realtor. She's been in this business a long time. We're in a crazy, crazy market right now. We're realizing because of public policy that it's really been constricting single family zoning. And Karen, you and I have not had a chance to talk about this, but we talked about it with the girls last night, and I mentioned it on the radio yesterday, is down in Douglas County on Tuesday, the county commissioners voted on a 2-1 vote to not take HUD CDBG money, that's Community Development Block Grant money, because of the potential strings that would be attached to that, which would really start to affect single-family zoning. And so that was a big win for us, Karen.
Yeah, you guys worked really, really hard. It was awesome to be part of that conversation and to watch democracy in work and people stepping up and explaining to the commissioners the pros and cons of their decisions. And so you guys worked hard, and it definitely was a win. And I think what's been difficult in the conversations we keep having is that when there's a problem, we have become habitual in going to the government for help. And when we do that, there is always an excessive cost related to that. And it's something that might not be seen until years down the road.
And that's why it's really important on each of these issues to look to the principles of our American founding. And property rights is inherent in that. And Karen, you're working on that, volunteering on the local, the state, and the national level to protect property rights, because that is inherent. This big, broad middle class is really inherent in the American idea.
It is. And this week, Kim, you talk about the work that I do. I am interviewing city council candidates across the metro area, and we interviewed the candidates for Lakewood earlier this week, and today I'll be interviewing candidates for Westminster. And it's really fascinating to see why citizens choose to get involved, and many are getting involved because they haven't been pleased with things that have been happening in their communities. And they're wanting to create change, hopefully change that creates more freedoms for each of us. And it's very educational when I do these things.
Definitely. Do you feel that your questions, because of all your experience now, are your questions different from maybe when you first became involved in this process?
Somewhat, yes. As you become more educated, you hopefully can ask better questions. We have a questionnaire we send out, we being the Realtor Association, to each candidate, and it's always focused only on private property rights and home ownership and how cities are affecting those things. But I brought to light things about zoning and the after effects of construction defect legislation and why today we don't have entry-level housing in our communities because of that legislation. And yet, across the United States, they are not seeing condominium units being built and developed, and they don't have construction defect legislation. So we have an underlying excuse, and yet it's still occurring nationwide. So we had some good conversation about that. They certainly, at this earliness in their campaigning and understanding of their cities, don't have answers, but willing to explore them.
Okay. And Karen Levine, what is going on regarding the real estate market in the metro area?
Well, it is, well, the media would tell you that it's simmering down, but it is seasonal. We always see seasonal changes. That's been consistent for the 30 years I've been in business. And things quiet down a little bit in July, August, because people are getting in their summer vacations, which they weren't able to take last year.
Right.
So they're taking several of them. They are multiplying them, I think. And so people aren't in town. And so our activity on listings is a little bit down. But what an awesome opportunity for that buyer who has been beat out two, three, four times in multiple offer situations has an opportunity to maybe get an offer accepted at a list price, maybe slightly above that list price, without being in a lot of competition. So I encourage buyers, if they've been disappointed and discouraged, there's a window of opportunity for them. And, you know, sellers are still going to do well.
Okay. And how can people reach you to buy or sell your their home?
They can call me at 303-877-7516.
Again, that's Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Okay. In studio with me is Helen Jean Mitchell, one of our great sponsors. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Brent Littlefield about ranked choice voting. You will not want to miss this.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is Helen Jean Mitchell. She's a great partner of the show. And a fascinating story that you told us about your cousin in Pennsylvania, Helen.
I think they picked on the wrong Pennsylvania.
Coal miner's daughter, huh?
Coal miner's descendants, yes, both of them.
Okay. So, yeah, keep us informed on what's happening with that.
Yes, I plan to.
Something happened here in Colorado that is most interesting, and it is House Bill 21-1071, and it was signed into law by Governor Polis on June 28, 2021, and it is concerning ranked choice voting here in Colorado in nonpartisan elections. And this has been a subject that has been on my list of things to try to bring forth. It's somewhat complicated. But then with what we saw happen in the New York City mayor's race, it's like this can be a big mess. And it seems like a big mess always works out for the Democrats.
Sounded like a roulette wheel. I did. I mean, when I read this, I did some research, I thought I was playing a game of hopscotch, dodgeball, tag, or Red Rover.
Well, and I think that's by design, Helen Mitchell.
Of course it is.
So we decided to ask Brent Littlefield. He's back on the East Coast. He has Littlefield Consulting. He's run political campaigns, and he's had experience with ranked choice voting. Brent, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So we just passed this out here in Colorado, and it's one of those things that is like, I don't think this sounds like a good idea. And then when we saw what happened in New York, it's like, I don't think this is a good idea at all. But this is, once again, Colorado is the petri dish for a lot of this bad stuff that is happening. So tell us a bit about what ranked choice voting is, Brent Littlefield.
Well, thanks for having me on. And it is true that a lot of unusual legislation and ideas come out of Colorado. But another place that they come from and have for decades is the state of Maine. And two states share a lot of things in common. And I've worked around the country for a few decades. You hear a lot of stuff where they say, man, this crazy idea came out of Maine. You'd also hear it came out of Colorado, sometimes came out of California. Or maybe even Oregon or Washington State. Sort of those states are cauldrons for this kind of stuff. And I would just say this, that anything that creates confusion for the electorate. Anything that creates confusion and an electoral outcome becomes a playing ground for potential shenanigans. That's no other way of sort of putting it. The simpler an election system is, the easier it is to verify who voted and when they voted, the less likely you are to have shenanigans. And I think that's why you're hearing these concerns. I'm not talking about questioning or talking about even the last election or the last national election. I'm just talking about in general. And ranked choice voting goes in with that in terms of creating confusion, creating an opportunity potentially for shenanigans.
The Heritage Foundation had an excellent piece on this, and it said that they say, you will not believe what reformers have devised to tinker with and manipulate our elections. It's called ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting, but it is really a scheme to disconnect elections from issues and allow candidates with marginal support from voters to win elections. In the end, it's all about political power, not about what is best for the American people and for preserving the great American Republic. So so-called reformers want to change the process rules so they can manipulate election outcomes to obtain power. Brent, your comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what's happening here. And I had the unfortunate experience of being one of the first consultants in the country to deal with this on a major level. I went through a primary election with ranked choice voting in a governor's election in Maine, and really won that by just winning more than 50% of the vote, so you didn't have to mess with it. And then went through a general election for Congress. And there's only been one state so far in the country that's had a federal election, meaning for the U.S. House or the U.S. Senate, that has been impacted by ranked choice voting, and that is in Maine in 2018. And in Maine, with very little notice, there was a big outside groups that came in, spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to get this on the ballot, spent millions of dollars passing it with literally almost no opposition. I think there was less than $10,000 spent against it. And it barely passed by a little over 50% of the vote by the electorate. And then they turn around and put it in place. Even Democrats in the legislature thought this was a bad idea. They put a delay on it. The proponents of it said it was going to be constitutional and fine. Later on, the court in Maine came back and said it was unconstitutional for state general elections, but left it in place for federal elections. The legislature delayed it. They went back and spent millions of dollars and got more signatures to stop the legislative delay, put it in place. And then after, a congressional candidate I worked with by the name of Congressman Bruce Poliquin was outspent in his November election by about $5 to $6 million.
Oh my gosh!
By the Democrats on the other side, outspent just for one House seat. Total spending in that House race, by the way, was almost $26 million. He was the only Republican in all of New England in Congress, outspent. He won on Election Day by 1%. In 49 other states, he would have been elected. They put it through what literally was a black box algorithm and spit out a result on the other end and said because of ranked choice voting, he lost by 1%. And there's now a Democrat sitting in that seat in Congress.
Remarkable. Helen.
You know, when I was doing some research about this, I had heard that the Secretary of State carries a lot of power in this, that they threw out 14,000 ballots because the voters had not ranked all the candidates. And sometimes they give you a list of how many candidates you can rank. So doesn't it give those second, third place candidates a lot more power than they should have?
Yeah, so what's happening here is, and one of the, you know, there's a lot of talk in politics this day about lies and big lies and all this stuff. You know, to break it right down, one of the complete and utter falsehoods from those that promote ranked choice voting, which is almost entirely funded by hardcore members of the elite left around the country. Well, one of the great falsehoods of ranked choice voting is that it allows a majority voice to be heard. And it's just not true. So if you have a lot of candidates on a ballot, when you go to vote, your ballot's going to look like an Excel spreadsheet, which is really confusing. And you're supposed to rank them. Well, if you haven't ranked an eventual person that comes out of this algorithm, your vote gets eliminated. You are now left off from the ability to vote in the future. You're kind of voting blind. And what happens is that your vote's eliminated. So say, you know, you have 10, 15, 20% of the voters that, you know, picked three of the five candidates. But the last two remaining candidates through this algorithm are not one of those three or five, three candidates that they picked. Their votes are literally discarded. They're trashed. They no longer have a voice in that final say. And then the numbers are reconfigured to represent the 50 plus one. So it's really not 50% plus one. It's only 50% plus one of the remaining voters. And wow. unlike real runoffs around the rest of the country, and some states have runoffs. Louisiana has runoffs. I've actually done a lot of work in Louisiana. I've actually done work in Colorado as well. But in Louisiana, and in that case, you have a primary, so to speak. And then you at least have a month or two in most states for the remaining two candidates to campaign. And then you give all the voters a chance to hear those arguments. And then they go back and vote again to pick a final winner. This is not a real runoff in that you really don't know who those final, quote unquote, two candidates are. You don't have a chance to have a debate with the voters, and you don't give the voters a real choice. And then some voters' votes are discarded. And then let me add one more thing, which is really confusing. I don't know that every state does it. In the state of Maine, it takes place. They actually empower the Secretary of State to do something called batch elimination, which is even bizarre, more bizarre and even more scary, which is that if the computer algorithm determines that a lower-ranked candidate has no chance to ever make it to 50% through some type of mathematical equation, they can batch eliminate a number of candidates all at once. So say you have 10 candidates running for an office. That computer algorithm may, in the very first round of voting, just say, nope, we're going to eliminate six candidates because we have determined through whatever our algorithm is that they have no chance of getting to 50%, so they just eliminate all six in one shot. Then they rerun the numbers again.
Ellen, you had a thought?
Well, I'm hearing computer algorithm. That rings a bell.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot, Brent Littlefield, lately with a lot that's going on. I want to go to break. And when we come back, one of our listeners, she's very excited that you were going to be on today. She said that her daughter brought up a really interesting point. It says that we're supposed to have a system of one person, one vote. But with ranked choice / approval voting, each person casts multiple votes. Just because it's in order of preference does not negate the undeniable fact that one person is indeed casting multiple ballots. So let's leave that there and let that percolate just a little bit with Brent Littlefield. Helen Mitchell is in studio. And wanted to mention to you that Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is another one of my great partners, I don't have the date here exactly, but it's Saturday, I think it's August 5th. They're going to have a knife sharpening event there. You can bring in your favorite knife, one knife, and you can have that sharpened. They're going to have kind of festivities there. So go to castlegate.com to check that out. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. Helen Jean Mitchell is in studio. We'll continue the conversation with Brent Littlefield.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Air Force fighter jet pilot Chuck Briga got to Korea in 1954 after the shooting had stopped. Kim Munson with America's Veteran Stories here. Sunday, Chuck tells the story of him taking his dad's airplane out for a joyride when he was just 13 years old. He also shares a story of the secret squadron that he was sworn to not reveal for 50 years. Hear more of Chuck's experiences in the Air Force Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for your support. And correction, that date for Castlegate Knife and Tools knife sharpening event is on Saturday, August 7th. So that's Saturday, August 7th. And in studio with me is Helen Jean Mitchell. She's a great partner of the show. And you just heard that. One of your favorite words, you're a technology expert, and that is algorithm.
Past technology.
algorithm.
Yeah. Well, you hear that unknown algorithm. You're like, what? You know, things would be straightforward. Nobody should have any doubt. There shouldn't be any question in people being able to cast their vote. And now you see second and third place placings in an election have this undue influence and power to completely change the outcome of who's been elected.
I know. And Brent, I've been in meetings where there's people that are proponents of ranked choice voting. And to say that it's this great deal and that, as you mentioned, more people's voices are not marginalized. But I think actually it does marginalize the election, and it takes away this one person, one vote that is really inherent to our American elections, Brent.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And I think it's very dramatically lacks in transparency. I was going to say very untransparent, dramatically lacks in transparency. And the argument that your call wrote in about and that you're making about one person, one vote, I think is very important. This initial ranked choice voting result was taken to court. It had to be done in a hasty way after the election. I think it's very difficult. Federal courts do not move in a hasty way, and they get very scared when it comes to election campaigns. They don't like to mess with them. So you get into a cauldron where the folks that push things through can kind of sneak it through because the courts just struggle with handling that. And that argument went before the court. It was set aside. It went to appeal for an injunction. That was set aside by a liberal appeals court in New England. I think it still remains to be tested to eventually get it to the Supreme Court. That was not a particularly good case to take to the Supreme Court. So it was smart for the appeals to stop then. But I think it needs to go to the court because it is true. Some people's votes are thrown out. Other people's votes are counted more than once. It's not a real runoff. And again, it limits transparency. And let me just tell you, if you're hearing folks promoting this, in some cases, you need to look at where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Maine, which again was the first federal election in the country to have this imposed, in the race with the only Republican member of Congress in all of New England, multiple states, it was funded primarily when you trace the money and the media has refused to accurately report this. Let me say this again. The media has refused to accurately report this. When you track, and it's not difficult to do. This is not a complicated process. It's not a secretive thing or dark web. It's really simple. It's publicly available information. If you track the funding sources of the PACs and organizations that funded it getting on the ballot and pushing it through in Maine without really any opposition, it almost all goes back to one guy. Now, there's some Soros money in there. There's some other money from Soros' son, which is publicly available. His name's on the publicly disclosed documents with the state. But it goes back to one guy named John Arnold down in Houston. Most people don't know about him. He's a mega donor to liberal causes. And believe it or not, this, again, sounds bizarre, but it's true, he made almost all of his money off Enron. He literally was a trader at Enron. And before Enron collapsed and the leaders went to jail, he left, took his money, and has been giving it to liberal causes. And in the case of Maine, he almost single-handedly, with a little help from Soros and some other folks like that, funded the push to get ranked choice voting pushed through. And a big part of their advertising, and in addition to calling it fair, was that they claimed that it was going to create civility and reduce hostility in politics. And then that very same guy, John Arnold, once it went through, almost single-handedly funded a super PAC claiming that they were about lowering prescription drug costs and used the super PAC to hammer and hammer and hammer and attack, falsely attack, the very congressman, Bruce Baldwin, the Republican, that they claim that they're going to create more fair elections with the ranked choice voting. So he put a system in place, paid for it, claiming it was going to produce civility in politics, and then funded a super PAC to attack the member of Congress.
That's so interesting that he would use those words civility. In the first segment, we were talking about projection, how those radical activists on the left, they project onto their opponent many times what they are really doing. And they also use words that people want to hear. For example, Biden said he was going to unify the country. People want to unify our country. We want to be the United States of America. but we are not united whatsoever. So now the term civility in elections, people kind of like the way that sounds. So they know how to use those words when they do the opposite thing, Brent.
Well, that's right. And you know, and part of the problem sometimes with conservative messages is that, you know, we try to deal with reason, with common sense, and we just assume that everybody is going to get it, and they don't. And you have to make sure that you communicate to people so that they can hear your message. And there's really nothing that they will do on the other side or stop to do to promote their message and their agenda. And, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to make sure that you break through the clutter and that you reach people and that you talk about the things that are important to them and make sure that that people understand. In the case of ranked choice voting, it's really important that people realize that it's not ranked choice. They know they love to use the word choice. It's manipulated voting. And that people get that message out so that they understand really what's going on. And again, it goes back to just like this issue of mailing out ballots before you verify a voter list, and you just kind of mail ballots to every address on a list before the list is verified. That's another instance where it takes away from transparency. We spent years in this country, in many states, passing voter ID laws. In fact, now Attorney General Todd Rokita in Indiana was then Secretary of State. He was the first person in the country to push through voter ID, took it to the Supreme Court and won. So that you could say, you know what? If someone walks in to vote, we know who they are. We know that they're a U.S. citizen. We know they're over 18. We know they're allowed to vote. And we can say, yep, that person walked in the door and they voted. We can verify that this is a clean, fair election. Now, with this mailing out of ballots, there's no way to check somebody's ID. It's impossible. You have no idea if a ballot arrives at a very elderly person's house, if their kid or a caregiver is voting that ballot, mailing it back in. It's impossible to know. Apartment buildings where during a Democrat primary in Nevada, we saw stacks of ballots sitting in the mail rooms in the front lobbies of these apartment buildings where anybody could just pick them all up, vote them, and send them back in. That's, again, taking away transparency of who's actually participating. Similar to ranked choice voting, where it creates confusion and eliminates transparency. And if somebody's out there promoting a system that limits transparency, you have to question what their motives are if they don't want a transparent and simple and clear election.
Good question. Helen, you wanted to mention something.
Yeah, when I was reading it, you know, I think you need to be highly skeptical of anybody who wants to tinker with a longstanding electoral institution, whether that's people controlling, you know, voter registration, redistricting. But I think in the end, it's all about political power, and they say what's best for the United States, but it's really just what's best for them, so that they can manipulate the outcome for their own purposes.
Well, I think she nailed it, Brent, that it's all about power. Out here in Colorado, you bring up such an important point. We want to be moving towards more transparency, where we can trust our elections and we know that they are honest elections. And this whole 2020 election really opened up. I think a lot of us had no idea this potential for election integrity challenges. We've got just a few minutes left, Brent. How would you like to button this up for our listeners?
Well, I would just say that, you know, overall, are there conspiracies and bizarre things happening to politics? Yes. Is it overblown? Probably yes. I've been doing this for a long time in multiple states, and I've seen people try to get involved, especially on the left, and manipulate elections. And generally speaking, you can kind of thwart that. But when it, you know, this the stuff that's right out in the open, like a push for ranked voting, that really does matter. It's not some behind-the-scenes kind of kabuki theater thing or something you see in a movie. This is right out front. They're claiming they're going to do this. They're not really hiding too much how they're funding it. And they are trying to manipulate and change a system that has worked for generations of Americans. You can't say we haven't had some amazing leaders in our country. We've had some amazing leaders in our country. And they're trying to eliminate and change the system that produced those leaders. And you have to question their motives when they're doing something like that.
Well, and just your final thought here, since this legislation has been passed here in Colorado, for ranked choice voting in nonpartisan elections, which would be our school board, our city council, our metro districts. This is the government that's most local. And so this, I feel, is going to be very, very difficult here in Colorado. Your thoughts, Brent?
Yes, I agree with that. And I would just say that Portland, Maine, the city of Portland, just had an issue with this on a city charter commission. And it's an almost entirely Democratic area. I think it was almost all Democrats running for those positions. And there was a more moderate Democrat who got a pretty large number of votes, ended up getting defeated by somebody that got less than 15% of the vote.
That's
at the end of the day. And the person that took him out is a dramatic extremist. And that's what's scary. And that's certainly not representing the will of the people. You had a very low turnout in that city charter commission election, and almost all liberal Democrats voted. And then the most extreme of the extreme of the extreme of those liberal Democrats is the one that won because they used the ranked choice voting system. So you end up with a extremist of an extremist of an extremist extremist controlling the wheels of power. And we have to be really careful with that. And so I just say push back. The great thing about laws is that they can be changed, and they get changed by having a different legislature. That's where the work begins. It's easy to throw up your hands and give up, or you can come back and run for office and fight back and win. And I have won a lot of elections where people said there was no way we could win.
Brent Littlefield, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And Helen Jean Mitchell, thank you so much for being in studio.
You're welcome.
And sharing the story of your cousins in Pennsylvania. Our quote for today is from Abraham Lincoln. We mentioned it earlier. He said, "The ballot is stronger than the bullet." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a